from the Palatial Pride 48 studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Jalapeno Poppers from Arby's. Hey, ever had those? They hurt. There's like no possible way you can bite into them. You know, like the jalapeno is all kind of mushy, and then so you end up just like pulling it out, and then it hits your face, and then it's just like, so you have to eat them all in one big chunk, but you can't fit them in. Anyway, check them out on their website, Arby's.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code, for a discount. I got nothing. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Arby's Jalapeno Popper Free State of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. We have an Arby's here, so I'm assuming we have Arby's Jalapeno Poppers.
Jalapeno Poppers, yes.
Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? They should be delicious, right? It's a jalapeno popper stuffed with cream cheese and then breaded and deep fried. And then they serve it with a little jelly that you like, a little mint jelly that you dip it in. It's quite delicious.
You know, Daniel, I'm fine. Thank you for asking. The thing about poppers of not the kind that Big Fatty likes, but the poppers that you that you pop in your mouth and eat.
Yes.
They can be molten. You can have
That's what I'm saying.
Popper.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That is the problem that I had pre-show with the Arby's jalapeno poppers is the fact that it's like, they're too big to eat in one bite, so you naturally assume, well, I'm going to bite into it, you know, and use my teeth to cut it in half. And as soon as you do that, it's too squishy to be able to cut, and so then you end up pulling the molten core of the popper out of it, and then it slaps down onto your chin, and then you've got molten hot cream cheese on your chin, and it's very...
Well, at least you have that lovely, voluptuous beard there to protect your skin.
I have that, and I have the three cats that just like park permanently under my feet, like just waiting for me to drop any morsel of food. And they're all just like, they're such brats.
You ever wonder why Big Fatty is like always on whatever shows on Saturday nights, but he never even comes into the chat room on Sunday nights for us? Are we on too late for him? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. It is okay. Sunday evening. Fatty's old. Fatty goes to bed normally around, 6:30, like you go to the Morrisons, you know, for dinner at like 5, and you get, the fried fish, and, then you come home and, you go to bed watching the news at 6:30. That's Sunday night. That's Fatty. That's what he does at Fat Villa.
Okay. Well, I'm just, you know, speaking of who's in the chat room, it is 9:27 in the evening, which can only mean one thing. We are streaming live over at pride48.com. as we haven't done for a couple of weeks. And Daniel, we are joined by a lovely chat room.
We are.
Can you tell me who's in the chat room?
I can. I absolutely can, Adam. You know, we are joined in the chat room this evening by Auntie Vera Charles, Daddy Cast, which is a new exciting podcast that's coming out soon. Jimmy Bear, the master of the one-liner, Jimmy Bear. Well, I guess not really a one-liner, but the master of the joke on the Big Fatty program is Jimmy Bear. Joe in Dallas, who a long-time listener, but he's never in the chat room. So hi, Joe in Dallas. We appreciate you
first
being here
time,
tonight.
What is it? Long-time listener, first-time caller, or however you say
correct.
It.
Correct. Lamont Cranston, who has taken a break from social media, but we're glad that he has included us not included us in that, I guess, if you were to say it properly. And then Toppy Smelly, who did the opening of our show this evening, and then Terry and Tom in Chicago.
I love it when Toppy does my opening.
Okay.
I love it.
Let's just we'll keep that in mind that and you love it when Toppy does. Do I have a thing? Do I have a Toppy?
I don't know. Do you have a thing?
No, I don't. I used to have the Toppy soundboard, you know, where I would have all of Toppy's recordings that he had done for us that year in Pride 48 in Vegas, you know, the skit. I had all the Toppy Smelly lines.
You should definitely cut out the beginning of that where he says previously on Dubious Intent, because we're a little low on those, because all the ones we've got are with the plus at the end.
Oh, no, yeah, I will keep it and I'll use it, yeah. We have a good 15 or 16 of them. By the way, if you would like to be on the beginning of our show, you don't have to do the previously on, but if you would like to say the words previously on Dubious Intent and be featured on the beginning of our program, we would appreciate it. So all you have to do is just send us a sound file with you saying previously on Dubious Intent. And there you go. And that's all you can do more if you want. You can make it as crazy or as spicy as you want, I think. I think I'm trying to think if I'm going to regret saying that. But there you go.
You know, we may or may not play it, but you can make it however spicy you want to.
Exactly.
Like a molten jalapeno popper.
Exactly like a molten hot jalapeno popper. Exactly. That is exactly correct, Adam. Yeah, so you told me that we're not doing segments tonight. So
we aren't.
So explain to the people why we're not doing segments tonight, and then we will move on.
Well, the reason we're not doing segments is because I set up my studio today, and I...
Oh, hold that thought. Hold that thought, Adam. You did not sort these out, so we have no way of knowing when our phone rings tonight whether it's a tech question, a voicemail, or a death phone call. We don't know. We're completely and absolutely in the dark, so let's just find out who's on the line. Hello!
Hello, death phone.
Oh, it's death phone.
Taffy Smelly here. Dead. She's dead. Janet Waldo, the voice of Judy Jetson.
Oh.
In the cartoon, The Jetsons.
The Jetsons.
Dead at 96.
Wow.
Dead.
That's I would say. Did you watch The Jetsons as a child, Adam?
I have watched The Jetsons. I don't know if it was specifically as a child, but when I was a child, The Jetsons was already in reruns, kind of like The Flintstones.
Yeah.
But I believe I have watched The Jetsons before. What was that woman's name again?
I love this. This is like the best opening in cartoons ever. I love this theme song. It's just so jazzy. George Jetson. His boy, Elroy. Da, da, da. You know, Elroy goes to the Little Dipper School. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, there you go.
I gave it to him. Yeah, I love those old-fashioned theme, cartoon kind of theme songs that are real jazzy and brass heavy.
Yes.
Make very good. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I have determined that my favorite kind of music, and I don't really listen to it, but my favorite music, because you can't really buy CDs of this, right?
Your favorite music that you don't listen to is?
Is marching bands. Really yes. good, mm-hmm. like really fantastic marching bands. Like there's a you just happened to
Adam's
have that.
Favorite music is brought to you by jalapeno poppers from Arby's. Check them out as they put the molten cream cheese on your chin at Arby's.
That was the quickest audio find. Isn't that fantastic?
There was a short-lived podcast called Pop Tarts. Where we did the movie draft, that little podcast that we did that. And that was the ending to that show. So I was sitting here on my soundboard because that was the pop.
I was going to say, wow, that was some quick YouTube search in there.
That was almost as if I, you know,
Adam
had the
Burns is one of my all time favorite podcasters in the podcasting community. Dubious Intent Plus.
Oh, we have to update that. Yeah.
Right. I've probably mentioned it before, but anyway, I love marching band music. I loved my favorite thing to play in. My favorite performances ever were always in marching band when I was in the Ole Miss Rebel mm-hmm. marching band, because we were very good. I'm sure they still are. They're known as the Pride of the South, Daniel. I didn't know if you knew that, but
I'm aware of that. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, and I always wanted to be in drum corps, and I couldn't afford it when I was at the age, and yada yada yada. And you age out at 21, so I haven't ever been able to do it. It's been a lifelong dream of mine.
I was gonna say, Adam, you know, you say that you can't go buy a CD of marching band music. You know, let me introduce you to this wonderful thing called YouTube. I don't know if you're familiar with this thing. Literally, you can just type in marching band and you can watch actual marching band performances like the marches and everything. You can just make a little playlist of that. And there you go, Adam. Hours of entertainment.
I mean, the trumpets at the end, the stingers, like they play the highest note they possibly can play, like their brains or their faces are trying. It's fantastic. I loved it. I really enjoyed marching band. And it's almost that time of year. August is when marching bands for high schools and colleges, they go back and start learning their routines for the next football season. It's very great. Anyway,
that's exciting.
And the DCI competitions are going on right now for anyone who cares. But there you go. So cartoon music from the 70s, 80s that are jazzy make very good marching band arrangements. is what I'm saying. All of that to say that. Anyway, we're not doing segments because I was setting up the studio all day today because I moved in. And we'll talk about all that because I'm in the new, improved Adam Burns studio, Geeky Gay studio. You
know, here's the thing. He was showing me before the show tonight. He was like twirling his camera around and everything. It's the same. It's like the same curtains. It's the same backdrop that he's got back there. The little cubes, the Hollywood Square cubes back there.
Yeah.
Same microphone, same boom mic. It's like from this perspective, it literally just looks like
I didn't move.
Looks like there's a piece of drywall leaning up against there. It's like that doesn't register as another wall. It's just like, oh, there's just a piece of drywall leaning against his existing set.
Well, I wanted it to look the same because I like that set. That I designed the set, so I didn't want to. But I mean, I had to hang it all up. And there's a new, you can't see it, and this is an audio podcast, but the room is twice as big as my previous studio.
Which leads us to the thing that we were going to announce tonight, which is if you're in the greater Arkansas area and would like to sit in on a recording of Dubious Intent, Adam now has stadium seating in his studio, so you can... you can come and sit in. In fact, we have some people there tonight. Who's joining us there tonight from Arkansas, Adam?
let's see. We have Billy Bob and Jolene.
Sounds like a made-up name. It's like it took you too long to come up with the name of Billy Bob.
And Mittens is still in my box over there because I didn't unpack him yet.
Well, yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
But I have a lot of room. I still have a little bit of space that I'm not sure what I'm going to do with, but I bought new curtains and I did all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Well, the point is we've been off for 2 weeks. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. The world went crazy while we were gone. Just all kind of things happened that we, you know, didn't get a chance to talk about. Like Drawful 2 came out. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard you talking about it earlier.
I know. I played a game with Curtis and my friend Fred and myself and Curtis and who? No one
Fred
else.
Fred Figglesworth.
Us. Yeah, Fred Figglesworth. It's
or Figgleworth,
Fred.
Whatever.
Hi, it's Fred. How does that go? We'll see. Is his channel still around? Let's see.
I don't think he does Fred anymore, but there may still be a channel.
Let's see. No, all day. That's right. He sold the channel.
He sold it.
And so there's another company that bought the Fred channel from him, and they do kids programs.
Hey, Fred. And it's really nice out, so I think I'm going to go swimming later.
It's Fred. Okay. And yeah, so he was playing Drawful too. There you go. All of that, just for that joke. no, I'm just saying things that happened that we didn't get a chance to... There was all kind of drama that was... It's like there was the Pride 48 drama. Did you hear that drama? That was insane.
No, I didn't. I did not hear any Pride 48. Well, I've been... You know, I have been away from the...
I know, that's what I'm saying. We did Pride 48. And then you left... and there was that drama. The podcast awards happened, and Adam, there was a huge drama thing that went on there at the podcast awards.
Well, what was it?
Well, the Grand Negus, Todd Cochran, declared.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah.
Declared that that the Ferengi Commerce Authority was going to come after people to force them to buy those $400 fucking trophies. Anyway, and Todd Cochran. No, there was all kind of drama there, and then there was a New York Pride thing happened. There was no drama there. That was just something that happened. You went and moved, and then you went to Hawaii. So, yeah, this is like
I did.
All kind of stuff that happened. And so, yeah, we're not going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're just getting back into it, folks.
We're going to just have a little chat, and you guys are going to listen.
Unless you get interrupted by the phone, then let's see what our next phone call is. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys, RC Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Film. Actor Matthew Mazaris, dead at 76. You would know him as Alf from the alien from the TV show Alf. Okay, bye.
His name sounds like a Pokemon. I just caught a whatever his name was.
You know, that's been going Pikachu. You caught a Pikachu maybe.
No, whatever the guy's name was. What was the guy's name? Hold on.
Michu Mazaris?
Yeah, hi guys. I see Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Film. Actor, Michu Mazaris.
Yeah, Michu Mazaris. It sounds like, I caught a Mazarasaur. It's just like, it sounds like a Pokemon kind of a thing.
I spelled it wrong. I don't know. Imagine that old spreadsheet.
Are you playing this Pokemon Go game, Adam?
I'm not. You know, I'm not much of a gamer. And, not even on the phone or anything. So, but I've heard about it. It's Pokemon Go or something like that.
Correct.
Or,
yeah, it is. It is an augmented reality game. It's made by the same folks that made Ingress, so Niantic Labs, which is a company that Google owned but is not part of Google. And they're a little. mobile gaming company. They made a game called Ingress, which was kind of like the first augmented reality game, and now they're using that same engine to make a Pokemon game. So I'm not playing it yet. I'm just waiting. Although it was funny today, I was driving out to go to Arby's, and like literally through my apartment complex, there's like all these kids, like, you know, college kids, but they're all like walking in packs with their cell phones. They're all out Pokemon hunting out in our apartment grounds. So a lot of people.
Oh, so that's what you do. So you literally find Pokemon.
You know, when I say augmented reality, in other words, this game takes place in the real world. So it's like like, let's say that there's a Pokemon at the fountain over there, like in the park, right? Well, it's like, it's there. You have to walk to that fountain. You have to get within range of that fountain to catch it. You know, so it is. Ingress was the same way. Like, Ingress had control points that were tied to real world locations that you would go to, and you could use your little EMPs to attack it and stuff. I haven't downloaded the Pokemon Go game yet, so I don't know all of the ins and outs of it, but it apparently, I do know that the AR part of it is correct. And I don't know if you'll see pictures of people on Facebook and stuff where they take a screenshot of their camera, you know, of their phone, where you see the Pikachu sitting in the real world on an object. So it is smart enough. Well, I meant just a Pokemon, not necessarily Pikachu, but the you know, the software is smart enough to identify edges within the photo, like within the where you're looking in the camera, and it will put a Pokemon in that scene. In a semi-realistic way.
They, maybe no one was playing Ingress, so they were like, what can we do to make people actually play this? Oh, Pokemon. That's what we'll do.
Ingress was a cute game, but it was out for 3 years. The problem with Ingress is that, you know, it's like all MMOs. You eventually, in order to keep it interesting for people that have been playing it for a long time, they have to level up to the point that new people playing can never catch up to them. You know, it's like, that was the problem with like World of Warcraft reached this issue where it's just like, the level cap is 100, right? And so there's a lot of people that have been playing that, you know, that's just a 10 level step from them to go from 90 to 100. But a brand new person coming in to the game literally has to start at level 1 and blah, blah, blah. So they started selling those level boosters and stuff to try to get people to caught up. But yeah, there was a time in World of Warcraft where it's like, you know, my nephews would be like, oh, I'd like to go raiding with you guys Friday night. But it's like, there's no way they could have without going and rolling a character and then spending weeks to level it up to that character. And it wasn't like a console game where you could just jump in and not be the greatest person, but you could be a competent person to play a game.
There was once upon a time in a kingdom far, far away, I was going to play World of Warcraft with you.
Yes.
And I recall you running me through a bunch of stuff to try to level me up a little bit.
Yes.
And then I quit.
Yes.
But I do remember the problem because everyone was much more. In fact, I think you had a character that was a little bit lower level that you could use to to play with us noobs.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah. But now when you buy World of Warcraft, you get a level boost for one of your characters. You can take one of your characters up to like level 100 immediately.
Well, what's the max level now?
The max level is 100 right now.
Oh, so you can start out at 100.
Maybe the level boost is still set at 90, I think. So you just play the last 10 levels.
Yeah, I don't know why they would start you at the max, because I thought part of the whole point of the game is, you know, going through and leveling up, right?
Well, but the problem there is that, so yes, that is part of the game. Wow, this isn't even on the Trello, right? But it's like, yeah, but that is part of it, right, is leveling up. But once you're at level cap, there's a whole new game that starts the day that you hit the top level. Like, because the day you hit the top level, then you have to start gearing up for the raids. And that's like almost leveling in and of itself, right? It's like, so getting your character up to the max level is one piece of the game. But once you're at that max level, in order to keep people playing this game for 6 months and 8 months and 9 months until the next expansion comes out, is they have to give things for the maximum level characters to do on a daily basis. And so So there's like a whole different game that opens up when you hit max level. It's like a lot of people that have been playing the game for a long time view like the leveling is just kind of like a nuisance. It's like, yeah, I have to do this stupid thing where I have to level up these 10 levels and then I can start playing the game, right? It's like, so I have to like go through all these zones and do all these stupid things just so that I can get to the actual game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. That was way more than anyone really cared to know about World of Warcraft or MMOs in general. You're welcome.
So speaking of leveling up, there's no segue for this.
There is no, I don't even know where you're going.
What would you like to tell us about the Pride 48 weekend and volunteering, Daniel?
You know, here's the thing. I probably shouldn't address it. I should probably just let it go. But I just wanted to say this. It's like, no matter what we do, right, we're a volunteer organization and we often find ourselves, I was secretly happy when you ran into your conundrum the other day because you accidentally sent out an email to a partial list And then you got people that were upset that they weren't on the list, and you were like, but it was just a partial, and it was like, it was an accident. It was like, we weren't done.
Yeah, But
my point that I wanted to make without, you know, it doesn't matter. My point is that sometimes, you know, no matter what, you can't win for losing, right? It doesn't matter what you're going to do. Your choices are, here's a good, here's a bad choice, and here's a worse choice. But you have to actually make a choice. It's very analogous to voting for president this coming year. It's like, there's a horrible choice, and then there's a god-awful choice. So it's like, you know, which one are you going to do? Who knows? But the thing is that there was a comment in the chat room during the opening skit that was something along the lines of like, who do I have to sleep with to be on the opening skit? And it's just one of those, I just wanted to point this out. People that show up on Pride 48.
You have to sleep with you.
No. People that show up on Pride 48, people that you know, that are in these skits and these things are people that have told me, hey, I want to be, are you doing a skit this year? I'd like to be a part of it. It's like, it is a volunteer organization, and that works all around. It's like, when people volunteer their time and say, hey, I would like to do X, right? It's like, I make a choice, you know, I is like, that is goes on my list. It's like, oh, okay, those people want to do X. Now, in this particular year, it was a very complex year because normally when we do these skits in Vegas, we control the sound, right? We control all the microphones, we control all of the stuff, and it's all, you know, everybody's walking up to a microphone with a script in hand and sitting back down. This year it was different because everyone had to record on their own and then send me files, and then I had to put them together, and we didn't get the script until the very last minute. And so it was, you know, I had to pick people that I knew had a setup and could give me an audio file back in a day. So it was, anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, just randomly speaking, or just whatever, just, I don't know why I said randomly speaking, but just in general, I will give everyone an example. Veritable Virgo had to practically knock our door down, but not really. I mean, we want volunteers, but we just want you to volunteer and start doing stuff. So I'll give you an example. Like, Veritable Virgo said, hey guys, I want to do social media. And we said, great. Do social media. Here are the passwords, whatever. And Veritable Virgo now does a fantastic job. He does a great job. The Pride 48 page on Facebook, he updates that. The Twitter, he updates that. He has some automated stuff that I don't know, does birthdays and things of that nature. We have a Tumblr account. He did all that himself. Like, we didn't, Turnip Head, you know, said, hey, I want to do some stuff on the feed when there's not a live show. I want to like organize the music, and I want to add bumpers, and I want to, you know, do some stuff like that. And Turnip Head just went, and we gave him the password, and he just went and started doing it. So any of that, you're listening to Pride 48, that you hear when you're not hearing a podcast. Turnip Head completely organizes that and does that and has complete control of that. He also created the bot for the chat room. And no one really. So, I mean, and there are loads of people who do stuff, but they just do it. And I guess for the skit, yes. I mean, because we put that together, we have someone write it. And there's always, you know, who are they going to think fits the parts specifically? And then there's, like you said, this year, it's, you know, who can we get to record really, really quickly? And yeah, we know who has the setup and all that.
You know, in fairness, I didn't think the skit was going to happen. It's like, Matt and I had talked about the skit a month prior to Pride 48. And so I'd given him my idea, which is kind of like, all right, how about a skit just kind of loosely based off like of clouds? So, you know, kind of like in like Inside Out, you know, like where you have to go to these different clouds and in Pride 48, and we have all these characters there. And so we chatted with that, and he's like, okay, well, let me write something, and then I'll send you back, and then you can tell me what you think, and blah blah blah. And then I got busy, he got busy, and I didn't hear anything else about it. And it became a week before Pride 48, and I'm thinking, oh, well, I guess there's not going to be a skit this year because there's no way it's going to happen. And then Matt was basically like, I worked all weekend on this, and I'm almost done with it. And I was like, well, now I can't throw it away because he's like spent an entire weekend of his life on it. So now I have to figure out how to make this work. And so I looked at his list of people on his list, and I was just kind of like, you know, go with these people because I know I can get audio from them quickly. And it was down to the wire. I was still editing that thing on Friday. It's like the day that we broadcast, I was still editing that thing, you know, at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, still putting music behind it and stuff. So it was,
down to the wire. We want every single person to be able to participate. We do not want to exclude anyone. And we just, you know, this is also a a hobby for us. It's not a full-time thing for us. So sometimes things fall through the cracks.
Yeah, yeah.
We apologize for that.
We're a volunteer organization, and it's not our goal to piss people off, but we have a great track record of doing so, apparently. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say was just, you know, I'd seen that comment.
But it was a great pride.
I'd seen that comment in the chat room, and I was just like, it's not that. It's just whoever made that comment, I'm not going to call anyone out, but when I saw the person that made the comment in the chat room, I was like, well, A, you have been in an opening skit before. It was in Vegas. But B, it's like, you don't have the equipment to record anything. I couldn't have used you anyway. So it's just kind of one of those. But in general, yeah, if you want to participate in Pride 48, then you basically have to tell us that you want, because if we go to people every year and ask them to do things, then it kind of feels like they're not wanting, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, does that make any sense? And it's like, oh, well,
yes.
Yeah. You know, it's like, whereas if they say, oh, I like doing this, are you going to do this year? Then at least we know that, oh, okay, well, they do want to do it. And it's like, you know, so, I mean, we don't pay anyone. So it's always in the forefront of my mind that I'm asking people to put out a lot of work for no money. And so anyway.
I will take this moment to say I thought the weekend went very well. I didn't hear of any huge technical issues. Fatty apparently got through a full hour without having any silence. We had a couple of great new shows that have never been on the network before.
We did.
And one of them, at least one of them, oh, shit.
Yes.
Same Sex Dialogue would like to do a live show every week, and I can't remember if I let you know that or not.
You mentioned it, but did you actually set them a time and everything?
They wanted to find out. Same Sex Dialogue, if you listen to this show, I was in Hawaii. I will email you.
Just email them later this week.
But anyway, so Same Sex Dialogue is going to start doing their show live on Pride 48. And they did a great job. I really enjoyed listening to their show. Mm-hmm. And we had some other new shows as well. And I'm going to miss them, so I'm going to stop right there. But the weekend was great. And thank you all for participating, because that's going to be the only one for this year, I think.
That is.
Yeah, and but we are making plans for Vegas.
Yes.
Next year. In 2017.
2017 for Vegas. We had a couple of new podcasts that joined us this year. The Left of Straight Show joined us. I think that was me. Where's my phone? I think it's too close to the mixer. Anyway, yeah, so we had I am so disjointed. It's like I used to do a podcast and now I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. The Left of Straight Show joined us. Also, a new show, Same Sex Dialogue joined us. And just recently we had a podcast called Sarah Talk that joined us. And I think I just got an email today from another show that would like to join us. That would be I'm going to find it here. Something with Mark. What was it? Live Mic with Mark. And so they wanted to join us. And I did what I tell people to do all the time, which is I heard a show that I liked. And so I sent them an email and said, hey, we're Pride 48. You should come and check us out. So I sent an email off to the Bearded Fruit podcast, and we'll see if they choose to join us or not. Fun fact, they're in Connecticut. They're like here in Connecticut.
Well, the poll is already closed, RT Cruiser, but you're welcome to go vote, but we will not use your vote. And welcome to the chat room.
Wow, we have a lot of phone calls. It's almost like we were gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, hi guys, RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Deathphone. Voice actress Janet Waldo, dead at 96. You would remember her as Penelope Fitzgerald. Okay, bye.
What? Penelope who?
Oh, and Judy Jetson.
Judy Jetson. So sorry, RT Cruiser. What's his name? What's his name already beat you to it?
Toppy Smelly.
Yeah,
you know,
that
this
guy.
This is how we used to do it in the good old days. We would just play them.
I know.
And
then we go, hey, Adam, you know, I really like that Jetsons theme song. It was just like, It seems so quiet. All right.
Daniel, I love that kind of music because I don't know if you knew this, but I love marching band music.
Really? That's...
Yeah, I absolutely love... It's probably because I was in marching band for most of my life.
I had no idea. And,
oh, wow. Look at
Adam's
that.
Adam's Marching Band Fantasy, brought to you by Jalapeno Poppers from Arby's. Yes, jalapeno offers from Arby's. Arby's? Arby's, which is another fast food restaurant that has no relation to Arby's or Arby's.com.
They didn't need that. They didn't need that stinger. I don't like. I'm not a big fan of stingers. They should just hold it out and then end. But
No, stingers. I love stingers. Matter of fact, that was my.
Your stripper name in the 70s.
It was. My thing is like when I pick songs for podcasts, like when we do, you know, it's like I like to have a song that has a definite end to it, right? It's like the ending of our show here has a definite end to it. Walkahol used the closing music to Phantasmic because it had a definite ending to it. Just, but I love those little stingers. Just like that lets you know, fuck you, this song is over. None of this fading out shit. Fuck you, we're done. It's just like, I'm like, mic drop. Hey, right. Adam, why don't you tell us about going to this new condo?
It's been a while and I don't remember what I said and what I didn't, but I haven't recorded a Geeky Gay podcast for a while. So,
nor have you recorded a Sex Factor recap podcast.
Well, I think that one's just going to die quietly because I'm just sick of it.
Did it end?
No, I don't know. It hasn't, but I'm sick of it and I don't think I want to do it anymore. And I couldn't do it while I was in Hawaii and I'm like 3 episodes behind. And anyway. I moved, and I don't remember what I covered, but I just want to give you guys a couple of pieces of drama.
Okay.
We moved into a lovely condo.
A lovely condo. Is there a place that they could go and see a view of this
condo? Yeah, youtube.com/geekygaytv.
Right.
There's a new condo tour, but you apparently need to forward minutes.
Yeah, skip in about 5 minutes.
And then you'll see the actual tour. It was empty. Now it's all full. But I want to, a couple of things.
By the way, that's the other thing that bugs me is your thumbnail shows a fully furnished condo.
Well, because I wanted a pretty thumbnail. Anyway, so it was the marketing material that they use for these condos. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. So we moved in and just a few pieces of drama from this. We have no hot water except in the guest bathroom at the moment. And I'll tell you why, Daniel. They use this. Yeah.
Don't know why it's repeating.
They, lovely, wonderful 2,000 square foot condo. We're paying an arm and a leg every month. Well, in Arkansas terms, okay? People, Joe Batance, Arkansas rent here.
I don't know why you let that bother you so much.
Anyway,
friend of the show, Joe Batance, who lives in L.A., was comparing rent prices between L.A. and Arkansas, and Adam just will not let that go. Anyway, go ahead, Adam. Yes, yeah, you're paying a lot of money for this place. By any standard, you're paying a lot of money for this place.
So you would expect to have hot water. That is like the first thing that you would, you know, kind of expect to have, right?
I pay $1,600 a month, and I do expect to have hot water.
Well, Daniel, let me just tell you. We have hot water in the bathroom to my right, which is the guest bathroom.
Yes.
Only in the bathtub, though. The sinks, if you want hot water in the sink, you have to turn the bathtub on and then turn the sink on. There's no hot water in the kitchen. There's no hot water in the master bathroom at all.
Now, you do know that if you turn on the hot water in the sinks, it will eventually turn hot. It's just that when you turn on the tub, has a spigot that is twice the size of a normal spigot, so it just runs the hot water through the pipes faster, that's all.
Well, you would think that, Daniel, but I have left the hot water on those sinks for 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
With no hot water coming out.
Yes.
Now, I'll tell you why. They have plumbed this entire condo in a loop. Because they have this fancy thing that apparently you put on fancy houses called instant hot water.
Yes.
Which apparently means you only get hot water in one room that's the guest bathroom. But the only way to get hot water is by running this special pump they have next to the water heater that continuously circulates hot water throughout the entire house.
Wow.
And then apparently if it works, you're supposed to turn on the hot water and immediately you have hot water. For us, it's not working. Now, so I think that's out. So they're going to have to send a plumber out. We're like week 3 of living here and we still have had no plumber out and we still have to take our baths and our showers in the guest bathroom and we no hot water anywhere else.
Well, in fairness, you've been gone for a week and a half, so it's not.
That's true. So our neighbors also tell us, hey, that instant hot water, that is going to double your electric bill. You need to put that shit like on a Christmas tree timer or something and just turn it on like in the mornings and like at night when you're actually going to need hot water. Because it's the most inefficient thing. It causes your water heater to have to continually heat water because it's pumping water through your whole house all day long.
Now, anyway. In our chat room, Baron Frosty says that he has that fancy gizmo in his very own house. He says that your unit needs to be adjusted. So perhaps you can get Cox to come out and look at your unit.
Maybe. Anyway, so we have to get a plumber out for that. It took them 2 weeks to get us garage openers. I mean, why didn't they have a garage door opener to begin with? I mean, what the hell? Then they come to install the lovely internet. Oh, so that's another thing. The person who lived here before,
yes,
moved out in January,
yes,
but never disconnected their AT&T.
Right.
I had to switch to AT&T because Cox does not service out here, as we know.
As it turned out, Cox does not service your unit.
No, they do not. It took 2 weeks of calling AT&T back and forth because they had to disconnect the other person's service before they could come out and install ours.
Yes.
And it took them 2 weeks because the person had a wireless account linked to it and they couldn't just shut it off. So we just got cable today.
Yeah.
The internet, the guy comes out. There's only one phone connection in this entire condo and it's in the kitchen. And I wanted the wired internet in this room. I have a 100-foot Ethernet cable going from this studio to the living room where we were finally able to run it. He was not able to go up and give us a new jack because apparently we have two attics and they're not connected or something. I don't know. It's the craziest thing. Then today, the cable guy comes and has the same problem. There is no cable connection in our living room where the TV is supposed to go. So they had to give us a wireless unit.
Wait, so what did the people before you do? Did they had no TV and no internet?
They used, okay, you know, most normal people just use wireless internet. So they just used the wireless router and they did AT&T U-verse. So they only had the one box and that was it. And they ran a phone, an Ethernet or a phone line along the baseboard all the way from the kitchen into the living room. That's what he used to hook up our internet. But nothing through the wall. And because we have this really high ceiling in the living room and then it drops off to a lower ceiling in this bedroom and bathroom.
Yeah.
So the attics are two different levels.
Yeah.
And anyway.
It sounds like a horrible place. Absolutely nothing has gone well. It's like,
no.
It feels like that's all you've done. Is there anything nice about it whatsoever? Like aside from the lead poisoning, has it been okay?
Well, it's beautiful. I mean, it's very, you know, okay, I have this tendency to pick things, I will admit, I have a tendency to pick boyfriends, homes, cars, gadgets, based on looks.
Uh-huh.
I'm very shallow. So we picked this condo based on how it looks, and it looks great.
Uh-huh.
I mean, brand new carpet, hardwood floors. It's only a year old. I mean, it's a brand new condo. The vaulted ceilings, the master bedroom has this vaulted ceiling. The living room has a vaulted ceiling. Everything's great. But they put like one of each jack type, you know, we have no hot water. I don't know. And then, the last thing is the studio is like the bowels of hell. It's hot.
But I've always, every single room that I've ever used for a studio my entire life has always been really hot. For whatever reason, usually because it's the least desirable room in the house, because it's kind of like you don't want to use the room with a really good view or the room that's got like the really big closet or whatever. It's like, so it's usually like a throwaway room anyway that no one would want to stay in. And then B, it's like, you know, now I understand that you're saying it was hot before you had the equipment in there, but it's like, you know, all the equipment that you and I have in these rooms, you know, when you have gaming PCs and multiple PCs, all of them with fans and heat sinks and then light sources and monitors and stuff, well, it's like those things all put off heat. So
here's the problem. They put these thermostats in a particular place, and then the rooms that are far away from those thermostats do not get cooled appropriately.
Well, you know what I found? That more often than not, it has to do with the airflow in your house. And it's so weird because it's like voodoo science, right? I wish that they would like teach people this, like, you know, like how to measure this better or whatever. Because if you fuck around with, like, if your vent in the room that your thermostat is in, like if that's like, let's say it's your living room. Let's say if you have your vents wide open in there because you're just kind of like, you know, oh, this is where we are and it's hot in here. I'm just going to open these vents. I need more air coming out of the air conditioner. Basically, what you're doing is you're making the rest of the house not as cold because that thermostat is going to register the change better. It's like it's almost better to close the vents in that room and then open the vents the furthest away from the air conditioner to full blast. So
that, well, I'm going to end up doing that.
Well, that's what I had to do in my place. It's like for the longest time, it's like my bedroom, both bedrooms were just like saunas and the living room was fine. So when I closed all the vents in the living room and then opened the vents in the bedrooms like wide open so that the air had to come from the bedrooms back into the living room before it registered, then it's like the bedrooms are a little bit colder than the main room, and that's great. That's perfect. So.
Yeah, well, the thermostat is right by the master bedroom, and it is actually, but the master bathroom is three separate rooms. There's a room for the sinks, right. There's a room for the shower and the toilet, and then there's a walk-in closet. Right. They each have a vent, okay. Each one of those small rooms.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be open.
No, I'm going to do, my grandma who is no longer living, God rest her soul, rest in peace, all that kind of stuff. She used to have she called them window units.
Yes.
Window units, but for some reason she added an R into words. Yeah, I don't know why.
In the South, they add extra R's to the ends of verbs.
She had a friend, Ida, but she called her Ider.
Yep.
So Ider told me. Anyway, so she had window units. Well, in the summer, to save money, she would shut off every room and put towels under the door. Mm-hmm. To like block the air from going in there.
Right.
You would walk into a room, maybe like 120 degrees in there.
Yes.
But her bedroom, the one room, you know, it was like 30 degrees or whatever. So I'm going to start doing that. I'm just going to shut off all the vents in the rooms we don't use, put towels under them or something. Actually, my brother is an AC guy. He's up here.
It is. Tom and Terry in Chicago even confirmed in the chat room. It's called balancing the system. It's like, but it is one of those things. It's like, it's just an airflow problem. If you fix the airflow problem, then your house will be fine.
So anyway, but it's a lovely house and we're getting all moved in. Almost everything is unpacked. The studio is like 75% done.
Except
room.
For the fact that we were having all kind of issues before the show.
I don't know. That's the computer, but.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's just the computer.
That's just the computer.
Yeah, exactly. So you moved into your new condo, and then you went on a big vacation.
Then we flew away, and I broke it up into islands because we went to three islands.
Okay. So, well, you know what? Here's the thing. I think what I'm going to do. Hold on. I'm going to take this phone call. That's what I'm going to do. Hello.
Hey, Doobies and Gents, this is Scott, the Sater.
Yes.
Janet Waldo, the voice on the Jetsons. And Josie and the Pussycats has passed away at 96.
Yeah.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Uh-huh.
Josie and the Pussycats. yeah.
Is she also the voice of some Jetson woman?
Yes, Judy Jetson.
Judy Jetson, yeah.
Okay.
Look how good I am. I knew that. The voice of Judy Jetson.
Well, that's because it's already won. Toffee Smelly won it. I'm just saying.
Don't tell anyone.
Sorry, Scott.
What are you going to do? So you're going to do something.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have on my list, you know, New York Pride and the podcast.
Well, you're going to talk about yours.
Podcast award. I'm not going to talk about the podcast awards because it's already stale news. So it's not going to be that much staler next week. But we kind of will talk about the podcast awards, but in a very just a, not really. No, we're not. We're going to talk about it next week. So there you go. So just go ahead and talk about I went into New York Pride and it was great. And there you go. That was my story.
Well, you're going to talk about that, but we're going to break it in between mine so mine doesn't get too long.
Okay, well then go ahead. Yeah, we don't want yours to get too long.
So we went to Hawaii. So we move in. I'm telling you what. So I didn't talk about the move, but we rented a U-Haul Friday night.
Yes.
We moved all the boxes ourselves. Then we had movers the next day for the furniture.
Yes.
Then I had to go back and I had to patch so many walls, Daniel, because I had mounted TVs all over the place.
Yeah.
And then finding paint to match.
When you run a multimedia empire like yourself,
I know,
you've got monitors
everywhere. Yeah. I'm not mounting a single television. I'm gonna figure out a way to put them on tables or something.
Why
anyway,
do like they do on sets, right? Where they just have them on rolling dollies, right? It's just like you just roll
those
them.
Are expensive, but. Maybe, but those are expensive. Have you seen how much those rolling dollies are for today? They're expensive. They're hundreds of dollars.
I would just build one.
So we moved in.
Yes.
And then like 2 days later, we flew off to Hawaii.
Yes.
Now it's a good problem to have.
Jet setting
to Hawaii.
Jet setting 1%. Yes.
The most expensive vacation of my entire life.
And it was so sad because it clearly sucked so bad. And I'm sorry. I don't want to spoil it. It's just like, here's the thing. It's like you went on. All right. So you and I went on a vacation, an 8-day vacation down in Florida and South Carolina. We put out a podcast every day, a recap podcast every single day. We posted multiple YouTube videos on both of our channels during it. We tweeted during it. We Facebooked during it. We even did a Facebook Live thing when we were driving to South Carolina. We did. We're like all over that shit. That's how you know it was a good vacation, Adam, is because we were all over social media. Yours is like literally, it must have been the worst because it was like there was 4 posts on Facebook for the entire time that you were gone. There was 5 Instagram photos, just 5 Instagram.
I can't believe you counted. It's like you're like making
there
a list.
There is not a single YouTube video about it, Adam. Adam, let me just give you an example. Here's a good vacation. Here's a really good vacation because, you know, another one of the people that I follow on YouTube went on vacation. And as you might expect, they immediately...
Oh, is it Paul Armstrong?
As you might expect, they immediately posted videos about it because they're having a great time. Yeah, so it's just, let's see, where is it? I'm lost. All right, so here we go. So here you go. There you go. Day 2.
For our second day of our California trip, we are in the Napa Valley wine country, and we're going to be visiting some wineries. Oh, the traffic. Some wineries on the Silverado Trail. And just look at this gorgeous view here.
By the way, it's not a gorgeous view. He's literally on the side of a highway shooting off into some dump.
Okay, I knew that you were going to make a big deal out of this, but I'm just going to defend myself. In fact, on the vacation, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm not releasing anything. Daniel is going to make a big deal out of this.
I am. Because I care about you, Adam.
No, I understand. But let me tell you, Daniel, I am going to... There is no rule that says you have to release your vacation footage while you're on vacation. We were literally 6 a.m. Every day, we got up at 6 a.m.
So are you going to do this like Vera Charles style? Are you going to release like a 15-minute video every 2 weeks?
I'm going to do 5 minutes per day. That's it. And they're going to be 1 video per day, and it's only going to be 5 minutes. I'm limiting myself to 5 minutes, and I'm going to edit it down. And I don't know how frequently I'm going to release them because you don't want to bombard people,
It's like a quarter of a fatty show.
I'll probably release them every 2 to 3 days, but until I'm done. And there are 8 days of the vacation, so that'll take about a half a month or something. Yeah. But no, seriously, I took so much. I bought that, you know, that Canon 70D that I bought.
Yes.
I took photos with that. I took photos with my camera. I took videos with my phone. I did all kinds of stuff. But 2 things. I mean, we got up at 6 a.m. every day. We went to bed at 11 or 12. And that was getting back to the room. And then we got up again at 6 a.m. the next day. There was no video editing time whatsoever. Now, my boyfriend, he is an Instagram and Facebook whore. And we're in the car. The other thing is I drove the whole time. So while I was driving, he was editing photos and doing stuff like that and posting them to Instagram. But I couldn't do that. I was driving. So anyway,
Did it ever occur to you to hand him your phone and let him post to your Instagram for you?
I'm going to tell you this. He takes better pictures than I do, and he's better at editing them. But he is a social media maven, that boy. But anyway, so first island was Maui. Now, it was wonderful. The room was great. Now, Joe Batance loved the room. I'm going to say I liked the room. Joe Batance stayed in the Westin. But I'll say what was fabulous.
We stayed in the Westin, and friend of the show, Joe Batance, just recently went to Hawaii and stayed in the exact same hotel is what you're talking about.
Yes. But this first leg of the trip. So the Westin, the property is fantastic. They have like 5 swimming pools, one with like a water slide. Yeah. They have an adult only pool. It's right on the beach. The beach is lovely.
I would never have been allowed to use the water slide as a child because it would have been one of those fucked up parent logic things. There's like, we didn't come all the way to Hawaii for you to sled on a damn water slide. Get out there on that beach. Get in that volcano.
But I don't know if you've been watching the news about Hawaii, but let me tell you what happened while we were in Maui.
Yeah, what happened?
So here was our plan for Maui. We were going to do the road to Hana, which is a road.
Yes.
And it leads to Hana.
that's Princess Hana lives at the end of the road in Hawaii.
But it's a lovely road. It has loads of waterfalls and scenery and views and things of that nature. So you drive this and you stop a lot and you take photos and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to do... So I'll do it in order. So the road to Hana. First leg of the trip was the nightmare. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're driving along. Well, Daniel, this road to Hana.
Yes.
Lovely. I mean, beautiful, beautiful scenes. The waterfalls are great. Mm-hmm. But the beaches are nice. There's a black sand beach and a red sand beach along the way.
Wow.
See,
but, in Florida, when we have red sand beaches, that's just because of the red tide.
Yeah.
It's a different.
So that was all lovely. But the road specifically, mm-hmm. in a lot of places, it's one lane, but there are two. There's traffic is going both ways.
Yes.
But there's only one lane.
Yeah, it's kind of like Key West, right? So it's just a little two-lane road. One lane in each direction.
No. There is not one lane. I'm saying one lane.
Oh, so kind of like in Mexico, where it's just like you're just hoping against hope that that car is going to move over and let your bus pass.
Yes.
Yes.
So we got all the way through the road to Hana, mm-hmm. and we decided instead of turning around and going back the same way, we were going to continue and follow that highway around the coast of Maui.
Yeah.
Well, same distance, pretty much.
Why have a terrifying? Why just limit yourself to a terrifying trip for 10 minutes when you could make it all day?
Well, no, and the views would be fantastic. We thought, okay, we'll do that. So, about 15 minutes into this treacherous excursion,
yes,
on the way back, there was this apparently native Mauian, if that's what you call them,
native on Mauian, yes,
on my ass, mm-hmm. like I mean, tailgating me. I mean, he wanted me to go faster. Mm-hmm. We get up to one of these single lane points and it was going around a curve and there was a rock wall on my right.
Yeah.
And like nothing on, I don't know what was on the left, but like nothing on the left and tailgating me. I was trying to go faster because this person was tailgating me. This person coming towards me swoops around that curve. There's only one lane and veers towards me instead of away from me. I had nowhere to go. I couldn't stop.
Wow.
I couldn't go. So I went slightly to the right. Well, that rock wall met the passenger door of my lovely rental car.
You wrecked the rental car, Adam.
I did. Wreck is a strong word.
That would have gotten you so many views on YouTube.
But, so there was this big gouge down the side of the, yeah. It wasn't dented. Well, we couldn't turn around, Daniel, because it was one lane the rest of the way back to the hotel. So let me tell you, the most spectacular views mm-hmm. you have ever seen. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what the coast of Maui, that road particularly is. To your left, there is a cliff that just drops off.
Yes.
To ocean.
Yes.
To your right, there is a mountain.
Yes.
It is one lane. I mean a small lane. I don't even mean like a generous lane. This is a tiny little lane that barely fits one car mm-hmm. for 30 miles.
Okay.
There is no, they don't know guardrails. There is no guardrail. It is just ocean.
Okay.
And there are all these curves and up and downs and you can't see who's coming. And I had just had an accident. I was like a grandma, like holding on to the wheel. Like, and it was the most excruciating 30 miles of my life.
Did you even watch the views? Did you even get to enjoy the views?
Well, that's the thing. I would have loved to have set up the GoPro, but I couldn't stop anywhere because it was only one lane. I would have loved to have, we were both in such pissed off moods because we're going to have to pay this bill because I didn't buy the insurance on the rental car. So no, we didn't get to enjoy the view. Later, we're like, man, that was probably the best view we saw the whole trip.
But how would you know you didn't see it?
Well, I mean, you know, we were looking, but I mean, it was fantastic, but scary. I was so scared and so depressed because my first day, I've had an accident in the rental car. So then the second day we had planned, the big thing that we had planned was to do the chef's table thing.
Okay.
Where we go to this restaurant and they have the chef that, and I was going to video it. It was going to be Fear Factor Hawaii for Adam because I was going to have to eat squid and all kinds
There's
of nasty
gonna be
stuff.
Seafood.
Yeah. And there was a fire. On the island of Maui.
Really?
A big forest fire.
Yeah.
And they had to close the road.
The one lane road.
Between Lahaina, which is where we were staying, mm-hmm. and this other town, which is where the restaurant was.
Okay.
We didn't know this until we got on the road and we were in a parking lot, literally, and we couldn't go. We had to cancel the reservation. Because
there was no way to get there?
No, there's only one road, Daniel. These are islands. I don't know if you know this. There is like one road. Well, I mean, maybe two. But I mean, there are not many roads. I mean, there are just... Okay. Then, so, and that was, Mark, that was what he was looking forward to the most out of the entire trip.
Oh,
was the
wow.
chef's table thing.
So for Mark, the vacation basically got ruined on like day two.
Yeah, they only do it that one night. And we couldn't go. I mean, there was no way we couldn't walk. We didn't have time. It was far away. It was like 30 miles away.
Well, what would be the difference? If they're not going to let you drive through there, they're going to let you walk through there?
No, but I mean, I don't know. Anyway, they had one lane going or something. I'm not sure, but
Wasn't there a water taxi you could have taken?
No, there was no way. Well, I mean, we tried. And then we did find another lovely restaurant that was probably the best meal we've had in the whole vacation.
Right.
And they brought us an anniversary card to the table.
Aww, see?
And took a photo of us. So that turned out lovely, but we missed the chef's table. Then day three of Maui, Daniel.
Yes.
Was our lovely snorkel excursion. We were going to go out on this
You need some new adjectives. It's like, everything is lovely. It's okay. Just like,
this fantastic snorkel excursion.
Oh, hold on. There's the lovely phone ringing, Adam. Let me just grab that real quick. Yeah, hello.
Margaret Vinci Height has died. This is for the death phone. She's died at age 98. She was the person responsible for creating the beehive.
Beehive?
The hairstyle that became popular in the 1960s. Worn by the likes of Barbra Streisand. Dead at the age of 98.
Okay. Dead at the age of 98. Yes, no?
Sure, whatever.
There you go. I think either this is a duplicate or he called immediately back because there's a...
This is C.T. Yaley calling back because I forgot to say who I was when I was calling for the celebrity death phone. Margaret Vinci Height.
That's your name?
No, C.T. Yaley.
Hairstylist who created the beehive.
There's a bit of a dangling modifier there, though. He's like, I didn't say my name, Margaret.
And you're not a fan of the dangling modifier either.
I'm not a fan of the dangling modifier.
All right. And I just want to warn everyone. I just want to tell everyone this is the longest part of my three island adventure because the other ones went fairly smoothly. And I only focus on negative things on this show.
Clearly. Your apartment, new condo sucks. It's a boiling cesspit. It's a boiling cesspit with freezing cold water.
My apartment is fantastic and I love it is boring.
And then you weren't able to eat at the chef's table, which honestly, let's be honest, you weren't even looking forward to it.
Well, but he was, and I wanted him to be happy. Anyway, so it would have made great YouTube content, though. All the faces I would have made.
I think secretly you sabotaged it.
No, I didn't. I didn't start the fire.
You might have. You didn't start the fire.
That's right.
It was all burning since you landed in Hawaii.
So as we know, things happen in threes. So day three, we're going to our lovely snorkel tour, Daniel.
Again, not lovely. Give me something else.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Jubilant. jubilant. We were going to go on this snorkel thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be great because they were going to take us out on this boat, a yacht, and there was going to be breakfast and drinking and lunch. And they take us out to this island, this uninhabited island. And there's this coral reef and you go snorkeling for a couple of hours. And then you come back and you're drinking and you eat lunch and all this. And we're sitting there. We get there right on time. We find parking. Great. We're sitting there.
Yes.
We're sitting there.
Yes.
We're sitting there. They come to us about an hour after we've waited. All these people are there.
Yes.
And they're like, we're having mechanical difficulties with the boat. We're going to have to cancel. Well, this was our last day on Maui.
Oh.
We could not reschedule it. So we missed the snorkeling.
Wow.
So we didn't get a snorkel. I don't even remember what we did that day.
So like on a scale from like 1 to 10, how pissed off is Mittens at this point?
Oh my God. Well, let me tell you about Mark. He loves there to be a plan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like for someone who loves for there to be a plan and now something is canceled.
And he hates it when the plan changes.
Mm-hmm.
He hates it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was dealing with pissed off boyfriend for all of Maui.
Mm-hmm.
All of Maui.
Like on a scale of having to put your cell phone in a locker pissed off or...
he was pissed off for like 3 days.
So it was worse. It was worse. Pissed off at Universal Studios.
Yes. Yeah. I mentioned one. I forgot one thing and then we're done with Maui. We did do the sunset thing, which went great. There's... Haleakala. I probably said that wrong.
Yeah, really? You think so?
But there's
Haleakala. What is it?
Well, there's a mountain and you basically drive to the top of the mountain at like 2 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And the summit of the mountain is above the clouds.
So did they close the mountain?
No, that wasn't negative. The only thing negative about that is it was extremely windy. I mean, so windy.
Yes.
That the gravel that they had on the path was being blown at us like bullets. As we're trying to take photos, but the sunset was magnificent. It was really beautiful.
Wow!
And we got up at 1:30 in the morning. That was the same day as the
This is just like the world's worst vacation. This is just
That was Maui. Okay. That was Maui. But anyway, this is what you're going to love, because one of my YouTube videos is going to be the drive down from the mountain.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Like, there are clouds below you. Mm-hmm. And there are points where you see the ocean, the mountain, the clouds, like everything
now,
all at one time.
Now, did you use your new $1,200 camera, or are you still too scared to use it?
No, I use it to take photos, but the drive down, I had the GoPro mounted on the hood.
Oh, so basically shitty video coming down.
Well, what was I going to do? I was driving. You mean to hold my Canon 70D out the window while I'm driving?
Yes, Adam. Well, Paul Armstrong would. He cares about his audience.
So that was Maui. So we'll talk about the other islands. The other islands will take a lot less time, because again, there was the first leg of the trip, just shit show.
People are concerned, Adam. They, you know,
but Maui is beautiful.
There was no daily podcast. There was no YouTube video. People are concerned. They wanted, you know, everyone knew.
Daniel, I don't know if I said this on the show, but I told you before, I tried to plug in my laptop to edit some video.
Yes.
And sparks started flying out of the.
I finally figured it out. You and Fatty both. You're like insurance scammers or whatever. It's like you buy the travel insurance, and then when you plug in your laptop, you're like, oh, look, my laptop burned out, and it's covered by the travel insurance. And so that's how you guys get new laptops.
No, I don't have travel insurance. I'm going to have to buy a new power supply.
So Lamont Cranston wants to know, would you go back to Hawaii? Just based off your Maui trip there, Adam, would you go back to Maui?
You know, I think we had an unfortunate set of circumstances. The entire isle, the entire archipelago, or whatever it's called, of islands, whatever you call a group of islands. I think it's archipelago. I don't know. Anyway, there's a word. The entire group is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So just for that alone, I would definitely go back to Hawaii. Would I want all of those things to happen to me in a row? I mean, it was literally like we pissed someone off upstairs because... anything that could have gotten canceled and or gone wrong did. By the third day, it was a comedy of errors. I mean, it was just like, what else? What else could go wrong? I'm sure there's more that could have, but Maui was a bust.
Here's what I heard. I heard a horrible drive, but the most beautiful views that we saw all trip. Oh, they canceled our dinner. Oh, but we had the best dinner that we had all trip. And then, you know, you can't go snorkeling, which probably means you didn't drown.
Well, true. But I mean, anyway. So,
by the way,
so
you still could have gone snorkeling. You still could have just bought a mask and snorkel and gone into the fucking water.
We have two more islands to go, Daniel.
Okay, great. I'm just saying. So am I breaking it up here?
Yeah. Breaking news. Pride 2016 with Daniel.
Hello.
Hello, Daniel and Adam. This is David, that Blue Jeans guy, and probably have already been beaten to this one, but it appears that Prince B of PM Dawn, the hip-hop group PM Dawn, famous back in the 90s and maybe earlier than that, will have wept about this one. That's a play on one of their song titles. Anyway, loving Pride 48. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Yes, no, I don't know.
Prince
rappers.
B, I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
No.
All right, no. Sorry.
Who called?
That was David, that Blue Jeans guy. I don't know. Wow, it's a bit harsh.
Oh, it was what I used to call him?
Brian. Brian, the Blue Jeans guy.
Yeah, Brian. It was Brian I'll give him $2. But
you know, David, anyway. That Blue Jeans guy podcast is going away.
Hey, I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. What? Sometimes when I say you don't get it, sometimes you actually get it anyway.
Whatever. Who won? Someone win our big? Oh, I forgot to send you money.
It was Mags.
Yeah, Mags won the big. I forgot to send you money. I just realized.
Yeah, you owe me.
I know. I'm so sorry.
He didn't even thank me. He didn't send me a thank you email, and now he's not in the chat room. It's like he got the money and ran.
Go on, take the money.
No more
run.
Mags. So how was Pride, Daniel?
Now I feel like I have to make it bad so that I can like live up to your Hawaii thing.
You can.
Here's the thing. So I went into a friend of the show, Lamont Cranston. Is in New York City, and so he met me Pride Day for a lovely brunch at the Herald, which is becoming kind of a tradition. That's where I had brunch with Joe Zubia when he was here, and with my brother and sister. I believe Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone and I had brunch there at the Herald. So it's kind of becoming this little tradition to eat there. But we went to the Herald, we had our brunch, and the parade had started. But there is this after party. Well, not an after party, but it's a party that's put on by the Urban Bear NYC, where they basically do a rooftop party at the Brass Monkey, which is a bar down in like on West Little 12th or something. Here's the thing, Adam. It's a bear party, right? It's a bear group.
Yes.
Urban Bear NYC, and they're putting on this bear party. And it's the same place that we went last year for this party. And we get there. And the first thing is you can't take a subway to this area. You have to walk to this area quite a ways from the nearest subway stop. So you go down to there, and then you go to this roof. To get to the rooftop in the Brass Monkey, you have to walk up three sets of stairs. And I realized there was no elevators in this place. I'm like, who's the genius that put a bear party up three flights of stairs? It's like.
Well, by the time they get up the stairs, they're either really tired or you'll think they're really turned on.
Right.
For all the hard breathing, the heavy breathing.
And so, we got there early so that we could get a seat. And it was so weird because we ended up kind of sitting in the same place that we did last year. There's a friend of Jay, well, a friend of Lamont's. Steven was there and a friend of Lamont's. Martin was there. And so we hung out with them and saw people that we saw last year. And it was great. And then... Lamont was like, it was getting really crowded, and he doesn't like crowds. And so he was.
Now, was this one of those
he was panicking.
Clothing optional parties?
No,
where
no,
you're
this
like,
is, no, this is a party up in a on a rooftop bar. And so, you know, it was just a pride party. It was all great. And so Lamont wanted to leave because, you know, he has anxiety, and he's like being literally surrounded by these berry people and, you know, just smushed in there. And but he couldn't.
Yeah, I don't like crowds either.
He couldn't get the waitress. He couldn't get her attention to bring the check to close out so that he could leave, right? And so he's like just smushed up on the thing. And so as we're looking for the waitress, Martin, who's British, by the way, Martin is like standing up on his stool looking for the waitress across this crowd. And he's just getting more and more frantic, right? Like imagine a really prissy Englishman getting frantic about it. He's like, oh, good heavens, where are they? Oh, my God, I don't know where they are. Oh, it's like he's like, have you seen our waitress? I haven't seen our waitress. I haven't seen her anywhere. I don't know. Perhaps she's dead. It was just
yeah, because that's right. That's
it's just like it's
the
just
most
so British to me. It's just kind of like, yeah, of course you haven't seen the waitress in 20 minutes. The logical conclusion, oh, she must be dead. I guess that happens in England all the time. It's just like their service people just
oh
die.
Yeah, it's an epidemic. Well, that's why they're leaving the European right. Union.
This was 2 days after the Brexit, by the way. And yeah, it was just like, so he was very upset. Eventually the waitress came, we left. I went back to my hotel that night. I had a lovely evening with a gentleman, and it was great. And we had a lovely
gentleman caller.
It was a gentleman caller, yeah. And so I had a lovely Pride weekend. No horrible cancellation of some. I don't know. It's just I don't have anything. I had a great time. So it's Pride. It's a madhouse to start with. I think the most touching thing that happened in Pride was my nephew had sent me a text wanting me to be very careful while I was there because this was, you know, right after the Orlando shootings. And so, you know, everybody's, oh, be really careful.
I would have worn a bulletproof vest.
You know what? But New York City Pride is, they would have to set off a nuclear bomb for everyone. It's like, there's so many people. It's like, it's just, I don't know, that whole safety in numbers thing. It's like, you're not really worried about it. You're surrounded by so many people. It's just, anyway. It was great. It was fun. It was, if you've never done a really large Pride celebration before, you owe it to yourself to go and do one of the really big ones. Like,
and if you're at a bear party, you have plenty of human shieldage.
That's right. I don't think the terrorists are coming for the bear party, but it's like, but if you've never done a really big Pride before, I recommend that you do it. No matter what area of the country you are, find your closest really big town like LA or San Francisco or New York or Chicago or, Tampa has a relatively big one, but not as big as like, let's say Miami or something. But yeah, you know, it's just, it's different to go there with so many different people. It's like, we honestly didn't see the parade at all.
I hate parades.
Yeah,
we've seen those.
So we kind of ate our brunch and then moseyed on down to the place to get our seat and drink some beer. So it was,
that is the one mar on my marching band experience was parades. Ugh, hated them.
Really?
Hate watching them, hate being in them.
Wait, Adam, are you saying that you really like marching bands?
I love marching bands, Daniel. It's my favorite.
Adam's favorite music brought to you by Arby's, makers of jalapeno poppers with the Molten Core Cream Cheese Center. Check them out at arbys.com. And don't forget to use the special checkout code DI for a steamy discount. go
um I do want to say one thing about good about Maui.
What?
If you are ever in Maui, there is a nude beach called Little Beach.
Really?
And we went there.
Uh-huh.
And now it's as nude beaches are, they tend to have a gay section,
mm-hmm.
which always tends to be at the far end. I don't know why that is, but the gay section is always at the far end.
Yeah.
And we went there, had a lovely, now neither of us got naked. Here's the thing. I would have gotten naked, but Mark did not want to get naked.
Okay.
And I just felt weird getting naked with my boyfriend there without him also being naked.
Okay.
So I didn't. But there was a very hot little thing next to us.
Yes.
Who was naked.
Yes.
Who kept prancing around and going in the water and stuff. I keep saying lovely. Very sexy, very hot guy.
Uh-huh.
There were lots of, if you're into daddies, there were some daddies. But let me tell you this. The daddies with the good bods.
Oh.
I mean, like the muscular, like tight asses, you know.
Daddies.
But now, and if you're there and you're single,
mm-hmm.
off to the right, there's an area that's got trees and paths.
Uh-huh.
And if you're naked and on the beach and you get a little frisky, you can go over to those paths.
Uh-huh.
And there are people get cruising.
Right, so you went over there. You were fine going over there without your boyfriend.
I did go to pee at one point.
Right, and you kind of lingered in that area.
I did not cruise, but I did go to pee just to see if anyone was doing anything. No one was doing anything at that one moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, Little Beach, it's lovely. God bless America. Why do I keep saying lovely?
I know, exactly.
It was great. So our next island, which is going to be much shorter, was Oahu.
Okay.
This is what I want to say about Oahu.
I'm ready.
This hotel is the best view I have ever had in my life.
Wow.
In a hotel.
There's a lot of firsts on this trip. It's like the
we
best.
We stayed at the Hilton Hawaiian Village.
Okay.
And I paid a little bit more to get a room with an ocean view, but we luckily got one of the rooms on the corner.
Yeah.
And we had a balcony on each side. I mean, on the corner, we had a balcony in an L shape.
I saw the
two
room.
Two balconies.
Yeah, because inexplicably, instead of you taking a 360 photo, you like took some kind of weird video that we couldn't even control the spin on.
Well, whatever. Yeah. So, view of Waikiki Beach,
yeah.
Diamond Head Mountain,
yeah.
And then on the other side, also the ocean and the lagoon, mm-hmm. that is the Hilton Hawaiian Lagoon. We left the windows open at night, and every morning I woke up to this view of the ocean. We could look down and see hot guys walking around. I mean, it was the best view I've ever had.
You said lagoon, so it's...
The only thing I can say bad about that room is the AC didn't work all that well.
Oh, dear God. So it's kind of like your new condo. It's just like there's no hot water and the air conditioner didn't work.
And the toilet whined. I don't know why the toilet whined and you had to go flush
really?
It to stop it. It would whine occasionally and so you could flush it.
So like it was just like you'd like almost asleep and then from the other room you hear like, hey,
well, it was this really high pitched.
I'm lonely in here. Come look at me. Oh, why are you guys going to sleep? It's not even late. Oh, come on. Come spend some time with me.
So
it's like the whining toilet. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The whining toilet.
So there in Oahu, we went to, for our anniversary dinner, I took Mark to, the Iron Chef, the Japanese Iron Chef.
Yeah. The one that doesn't speak English at all. The
Morimoto.
Morimoto. Yes.
We went to Morimoto's restaurant and it was good. I think they specialize in fish. So, I mean, my food was good. My dessert was great. I loved my dessert, but Mark did. And now one thing I did like, because Mark likes to do the chef dinners at restaurants when they have a chef thing.
Right.
He wants to do it. But at a sushi place, it's always got fish in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, normally they want to do that for the entire table. But at Morimoto's, they will do that for just one member of the table.
Wow.
So they did it for him. And I ordered my gyoza like I always do at a Japanese place.
What is gyoza?
And it's the little dumplings, little steamed dumplings, that. And I got...
Y'all have egg rolls back there?
I got a pork belly thing appetizer. And then I got a duck, duck, duck is the name of my entree. It was duck three ways. There was a duck meatball, a seared duck.
See, now I don't understand that. That dish could have been so cute if they had just called it duck, duck, goose.
Well, it was just duck, duck, duck. But anyway, it was great. They did. Now, it was sweet because the waiter actually said, you know, sir, you can do the chef's dinner as well. We will tailor these to your taste. So if you don't like seafood, we will do a chef's dinner that has no seafood in it.
Yeah.
But I knew they were going to bring out something like raw beef or
whatever.
Something.
No, see, here's and the thing. He's an Iron Chef. So you just basically, I go like, yes, I would like a meal tonight prepared with a secret ingredient, beef. And, you know, like you like do the little...
Exactly.
And show him the beef.
Well, you know Morimoto has like 10 different restaurants and he's not actually in that restaurant. But
wait, yeah. What?
Anyway, but the meal was great. And we had fireworks that night because that was the 4th of July. So we sat outside and watched the fireworks as on Waikiki Beach as we ate our dinner. That was really great. And then we did the snorkeling we did there. There's this bay called, I want to say Hanoma Bay.
I mean, when are we taking notes here?
So there's and it's specifically, and you can Google that and see photos of it, but I'll also have a YouTube video of that. And we bought some snorkeling gear and went and snorkeled. And that was, I saw some really pretty fish and that was nice. And I can't remember what else. We did something else. We saw more waterfalls because Hawaii has an abundance of waterfalls.
Imagine that. Yeah, that would.
An abundance of waterfalls. Imagine. They have a lot of waterfalls.
That's.
But anyway, Oahu was really good. So it was a lot better than Maui.
Okay.
Like 50 times better.
50 times better. You're just pulling a number out of your butt now. But 50,
there was no fire.
50 times better.
There was no fire. There was no anything. And then we went to, for one day, we went to the Big Island.
What is the Big Island?
Oh, I forgot one thing about Oahu. We went to a luau.
Oh, you went to... Did you have poi?
No, I did not have poi. I had the little purple taro, whatever. They make rolls out of it, whatever. And then they...
Whatever. If you didn't have poi, then you didn't do a luau, man.
We went to this place called the Polynesian Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. And it's run by Mormons, of all things. I mean, why? But anyway, it's run by Mormons. It's a very popular destination in Oahu. And we did a luau. We went around and saw the little villages, and they have a lot of shirtless guys, you know, with dresses on or togas or whatever they're wearing, the native dress of all these different islands. So you go to each of the little islands. They have Fiji, they have Tonga, they have Hawaii, they have, did you know New Zealand is considered one of the Polynesian islands?
Really?
Or at least they consider
it one. I'm sure that Arthur said this on an episode of Amerinds.
There is a word for a native New Zealander that I cannot think of now.
Oh yeah, because the Maori or something, or the Maori or the
it starts with an A.
Oh, then I don't know.
Well, Maori is one of the words, but there's a I can't find it. But anyway, there is
assholes.
Aioli or something like
aioli,
that.
Aioli. Aioli. They're just flavored mayonnaise, basically.
And they were all hot. I thought they were all hot and they were shirtless. And we went to the luau and I did post this photo on Facebook. We got a photo with a nice hot Polynesian guy.
I saw that.
And a girl.
Yeah. I saw the, did you have to include the girl in the photo? Because I would have been like, can we get it without the girl?
We did, because it was a family photo and they had a girl and a guy in each one, and the food was good. The food was really good.
I would have just handed her my camera and go like, yeah, can you take a picture of just the three of us?
But then we went to, after the luau, we wandered around for another hour, and then we went to they had a show that was separate from the luau.
Yeah.
And it was so good. This was, Mark and I both, this was probably our favorite part of the entire Oahu experience. It was called Ha, Breath of Life, and they have this story of a guy growing up from a baby all the way to when he gets married and has his own son, and they incorporate all the native dances from all these different Polynesian islands into the various parts of the story. Come, my Ohana. And
the story of my father's and yours, the story of Ha. It begins in the belly of a mother.
That.
Yeah, that was it.
It's all over YouTube. So if you want to see it, you can go to YouTube and just search for Ha, Breath of Life.
Yeah. And they end with this fire dancing with like 7 or 8 different fire dance. It was really good.
Wow.
But so then we went to the Big Island to see the volcano. I decided to do the helicopter, which it was worth it because we got to see actual red flowing lava.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah.
But it probably wasn't worth what it cost. Like value for dollar?
I don't even want to ask what it costs to fly.
It's $230 per person.
Wow.
And it's a 45-minute.
Okay.
flight.
There's a cat up in my lap. You should not be up here.
And we saw, again, waterfalls with that one. And we also saw the, because the Kilauea or whatever the mountain is there on the Big Island is currently active.
Oh.
It is currently erupting. Not erupting,
now,
but
on
it,
Good
there
Morning
is,
America,
there
they just flew drones into it so you could see the the lava there.
You know, drones are not allowed in Hawaii.
Well, then how they do it on...
Well, they must have gotten special permits, but you, a tourist cannot use drones.
Hold on.
Hello, this is David, that Blue Jeans guy, and, you know, I guess I should probably leave a message that Anton Yelchin, who is one of the stars of the new Star Trek movies, in fact, one that hasn't even been released yet, was found dead this morning at the tender age of 27. So, very sad. Yes. I hope, though, that he does live long and prosper in the next life. So, there we go. Anton Yelchin, dead at 27.
He wasn't a Vulcan. He wasn't a Vulcan. He played Chekhov in the new movie. He was the hot one.
Yeah, what was his name again?
Anton Yelchin, I think. In a freak fucking accident too. It's just like
smushed him.
He parked his car, got out of his car, went down the hill to check his mail out of his mailbox, and the car slipped out of gear or whatever and rolled down the driveway and pinned him up against the wall. It was just sad. It was tragic. But anyway, thank you very much, David. You know what, Kat? Stop it.
So we saw the lava, which we'll also have video of that, but...
But not drone footage, because drones are illegal.
Right. Probably not worth the money, but it was the only way I was going to see red flowing lava. You can do a hike, but they say you can get lost and all this stuff, and you can burn up.
You can get burnt.
But we did go to, the next day we went to the Volcanoes National Park, and they have a road that drives by the area where there was all that destruction in the 80s or 90s when like the lava literally covered a town.
Yeah. Pompeii.
And so there were a couple of photos on Facebook that you saw, one of me standing on what it looked like. It looks like I'm an ant. And it's a really cool photo of me standing on top of this big mound of lava.
I don't think I saw that on Facebook.
And I was actually blogging while Mark was taking that picture.
Oh, is that the one where you captioned it as a volcano vlogging?
Yeah. And I think it's a cool photo. Anyway, that was really fun. And we could have hiked out to where the flowing lava was, but it was like a 5-mile hike in the sun. And so we had already seen the red flowing lava the day before on the helicopter. So now the hotel that we stayed at in the Big Island, because we were trying to, it was just a quickie, just a one day.
Yeah.
And in Hilo, which is where the airport is, that's where the volcano is. There are no resorts.
None.
So this hotel we stayed in was, they had a window unit. That was your AC.
Wow. So like every other hotel in the universe. Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, I guess it actually looked like a window unit though. I mean, it was like hanging out of a window.
Okay.
And for some reason they had three twin beds in this room. I don't know why. So we pushed two of them together so we could actually feel like we were sleeping in the same bed. And so it was an interesting room, and that was it. And then we came back and the flight was uneventful. But overall, I would say my favorite things were the nude beach, of course, the view from my room in Oahu.
Of the nude beach, yes.
No, just of Waikiki Beach. And the one restaurant that we ate at in Maui, that was the one that was not the chef's table.
Right.
And then what I didn't mention was the volcano I loved, but also we had lunch at the Four Seasons Resort on our way to the helicopter tour in Kona.
Yeah.
And it was also a breathtaking view.
They make coffee there. Yeah. And you said you like Ha.
I loved Ha. So, and yes, I would definitely go back to Hawaii, but it's one of those things that I hate to say that everyone's right that says this, but if you're doing an 8-day trip, you probably don't want to do three islands.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Now I've heard you talk about Hawaii. I've heard Joe Batanz, friend of the show, Joe Batanz, talk about his trip to Hawaii. I have no desire to go to Hawaii. It's like, it sounds, everything that you guys have talked about just seem are things that I would hate.
It's very naturey.
I would hate that. I would absolutely hate that. I'm just not a naturey kind of guy. I'm more of a gadgety kind of a guy. It's like, I would rather go to like Shanghai and go to like the new Disney World or something and see like all the new like stuff instead of doing that. Anyway,
I just feel like you have to go to Hawaii. It's just, I feel like it's an, you don't have to, but I mean, I just feel like for people who love to travel, I think it's just one of those things.
Okay. Hello.
Hey guys, it's Christina from Greetings from Nowhere, and this is the call for the death phone. So the actor Anton Yelchin, who is most well known for playing the new Chekhov in the new Star Trek movie.
Victor Tango.
Morning,
yes.
The 16th. No, the 20th. Shit. The 19th. What the fuck date is it? It's Sunday the 19th. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. I'm in Pride 48 overload.
Right.
Anton Yelchin died in
yes.
a freak accident
Got
at
it.
Home.
Got it. All right. There you go. So sorry, Christina. You were beat to the punch by David at Blue Jeans Guy. By, like, actually, this is so weird. Do I have them sorted wrong?
I don't know. If you do, oh well. Whoever won, won.
I do. I do have them sorted wrong. Back this up. I had them sorted alphabetically and then by time. So it's like David, that Blue Jeans Guy, came before Greetings from Nowhere, Christina. No, she actually beat him by a minute. She came in at 4:13 p.m. and he came in at 4:14 p.m. So take away David, that Blue Jeans Guy entry.
It's a dubious intent scandal.
That's right. It goes along with the podcasting award scandal that we're not going to talk about. Here's what I don't want to talk about. It's just like I have been on record for a long time saying that I hate these stupid podcasting awards, and it did nothing more than just, reinforce that whole view of this scammy little troglodyte of a man podcast awards. But yeah, we can talk about it next week. Adam, it sounds like you had a horrible trip, and I'm sorry.
No, I really had a good trip. Maui was just Maui was an experience. But Maui overall is a great place. It just happens that we had a series of unfortunate events that happened to us while we were in Maui. And I was going to tell everyone I'm going to be on Greetings from Nowhere 3 times over the summer.
Oh, really?
And I was going to tell everyone the dates, but I can't find the email. So look for me.
Is this
on Greetings from Nowhere?
Is there some significance to you being on there 3? Is this like saying Bloody Mary 3 times in a mirror or something? It's like, why are you going to be on there for 3 times?
Well, because Christina, so Nicole is going to be out several times because of the Follies or something, or some show she's in.
Yeah, she's an actress.
And Christina needs guest co-hosts. And so she emailed me and she said I could pick multiple dates. She'd love to have me on multiple shows if I wanted. But there were like 8 dates or something that Nicole was going to be out from like now until November or something. And so I picked 3 dates. And for the life of me, I cannot find them. But you guys can just look for me on Greetings from Nowhere.
Greetings from Nowhere, which you can find at visitnowhere.com. Let's get to, I think this is our last, one of our last calls. Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi guys. I'm Tim Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Fan. First off, I'll congratulate Mags on stealing my victory from me. And going forward, I'm going to have to double down on deaths. Okay. So, Ronnie Claire Edwards, actress on The Waltons, dead at 83. Okay, bye.
Walton's actress died, and he was congratulating Mags for winning his prize. Did I hear him say that? His prize? So he believes that he's the rightful winner of the Death Phone contest and that other people are stealing his prize.
That's what he said.
Wow, he really wants to be known as Mr. Death, doesn't he? It's like, it's RT Cruiser, Mr. Death, RT Cruiser.
I found them.
Yes.
Monday, July 25th, Monday, September 12th.
Yes.
And September 25th as well.
Excellent.
Or 24th.
Wow.
So.
So I think we have another outage coming up at some point too. Because we forgot to say that we were going to be off for 2 weeks. I mean, we put it at the end of our Pride 48 recording, but it was kind of an afterthought there because we were doing our hour-long show that week. But so it's like, I think we're going to be off again, first week of August, right? I'm gone actually. The August, the weekend of the 7th.
We're off 2 Sundays. We're off July 31st.
Okay.
And August 7th. Yeah.
So yeah. July 31st, you're gonna be gone. Is
that I'm gone. Yeah.
Okay. Where are you going?
To Washington State to see my grandparents.
So there you go. So August 31st and July 31st.
July 31st.
August 7th, we're going to be off because life. There you go. And that doesn't mean we're going into hiatus, Big Fatty, who like announced to the world, like, oh, dude, Doobie Shantana's on hiatus. It's like, no, we're not. We just like took 2 weeks off.
I don't recall him saying dubious intent specifically. I think he just said it appears every show.
Because we were on the beginning. He was like, as you heard on the beginning of our show, is those boys from those Dubious Intentions, but they're on hiatus for the summer. He's like, he didn't say for the summer. He just said hiatus. We're not on hiatus. I bet you after listening to this show, you probably wish we were on hiatus.
Well, you know, this is a segmentless show. We'll see if people like it without segments, where we just ramble for the hour and a half.
It's horrible. It's just absolutely broken horrible. Up. We didn't get to play any of the theme songs. We didn't get to, all we did was that. That was the only effect that we did was just that. It was just like, I don't know. Now nobody knows. It's like, they don't know. They don't know what segment we're in. They don't know how much longer of this show that they've got and whatever. It's like, listen to this though. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. I see Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Vote. Bluegrass music legend Ralph Staley, dead at 89. Probably most famous for his song, Oh Brother, We're Out Now. Okay, bye.
Bluegrass musician who?
I don't know. What was the one he called about before?
The Waltons.
I didn't write it down.
It was the Waltons lady.
The mom?
Yeah, whoever the lady from the Waltons that just died.
Okay. Yeah, give it to him. That's
really? All right. Some obscure bluegrass musician, yeah. I guess. I don't know. That
there we go.
Seems really weird. All right. Well, that's it. Those are all of our calls that we have.
Thanks, everyone, for calling.
Thanks.
So many people died while I was in Hawaii.
Thank you, everyone, for calling. Now, you know, we have some stuff that we're going to I'm going to talk about this podcast awards thing on the next episode.
Yeah.
And this is what I'll say. The takeaway message here is that although I believe that the podcasting awards are a scam run by a little troglodyte of a piece of human detritus, Mr. Todd Cochran, I do recognize the fact that, like, having the audience, you know, reward you with their praise in the form of an award, whatever, is something that's kind of cool, right? I understand that. I just have always had an exception with this particular organization, the way that they run these awards. It's like too much stuff is done in the dark. It's too much emphasis on them buying. It's like literally, Adam, as they win these awards, they want the winners to buy these $400 acrylic trophies. Literally a trophy that you can go online and get made for $20. They want you to pay $400 for these trophies and they lean on you. It's that scam. It's the same scam that you've seen before. It's like, would you like to have your name listed in the Registry of Geniuses? Well, we're selling the book, the Registry of Geniuses, and, you know, for $300, you'll be listed in it. It's just a book of names, right? It's like, there's no meaning to this. So that being said, there will be a big segment on this next week, but what I wanted to go ahead and put into your minds out there is that we would love to win some awards. So if you would like to give us an award, all you need to do is email us that we've won. Tell us the name of the award that we won. If you want to include some artwork for that, like a little 250 by 250 piece of banner artwork that we could put on our website so we could proudly display that we are the winner of your award. And we will link.
I'm not paying $300 for some trophy.
And we will link. No, it gets better, Adam. And we will link to wherever you would like us to link for that award. So it's like, just send us, you know, like, hey, you won the I don't know. Let's say you won the Baron Frosty award for persnicketiness. And we'll be like, oh, great. And then you give us a little artwork for it. And then I want that to link back to Blime Time or wherever the fuck you want it to link back to. And it's fine. We will do that. Right. We're not going to link to the Republican National Committee or anything weird. So, you know, it's like it's at our discretion there. But thank you so much for winning the awards. And then what we would like to do, you know, since you've given us those awards, we were happy to sell you a trophy so that you can commemorate us winning that award. We will be happy to sell you a trophy for $200. It's an acrylic award. We're happy to provide
well,
you
we have
with
to
that.
Subsidize those Celebrity Death Phone awards
you'll see our GoFundMe campaign where no, but in all seriousness, if you would like to send us an award, I'm making a segment out of this. There will be theme music for this. And it really will go on the website because I think it's great. I think it just peels back the point that I'm trying to make, that this award carries zero credibility with it. It's just like, it's just some guy that made up some shit. And it's just like, to me, a listener of our show giving us an award is 10,000 times more relevant than, you know, some bizarre dude that's trying to sell me a trophy. So there you go. If you would like to send us an award, just email us, contact@dubiousintent.com, with the award that we won. And we will make sure that we highlight it on this very show.
You know, Daniel, a lot of people are going to miss the song that you play for the birthdays. But I can't remember. What's her name?
Her name is Lupita.
Oh,
Doobies and Tenors, written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line 229-234-7587 or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. And thank you, Adam, for not going with the obvious one of like, yeah, we were woken up by our housekeeper in Hawaii and her name was Lupita. You know, it's like,
well, that'd be was, which is not.
There you go. That's what it was. Yeah. Well, there you go, Adam. Congratulations on your horrible trip. I'm glad that you're back.
I'm going to put videos up, I swear.
Nico, we didn't even talk about this. Nico Martinez, friend of the show, went on a vacation to Europe. And also
Helsinki or somewhere?
Had a horrible, not a single video, not even on his secret Instagram account or whatever. So, like, he had a shitty vacation there. So sorry. All right, we'll see you next
week. I beat him home, though.
See you next week. Goodbye. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.